One Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use Podcast 20, that's PODCAST 20, for 20% off an annual subscription. We are excited for today's preseason episode that features none other than Alex Sirocco from Michigan. We hope you enjoy the show. Now let's get started. I'm joined by my co-host, Rhiannon Potke. Ree, how are you doing this week? It's finally here. I can't believe it.
I know. I'm getting like chills, like I'm trying to like pace, you know, myself, because I know that it's going to be just a fire hose full of games within a few hours, because we are now, when people listen to this, it will be officially game day for Division One, but it's going to be nonstop madness in a good way, and I'm so excited. It's like, you know, the countdown is now. Anyone that has a player with a zero on their back, please step forward, because we have reached the opening day of college Division One softball season.
Yes, and in case you haven't been on the site lately, we've got all the preseason power rankings up for you to take a look at. You can see where players are ranked by position, and there's a ton of information. Just head on over there, take a look. We've got conference previews, and then we just released our weekend preview, so our weekend primer, which has kind of everything that you need to know heading into opening weekend. And I'll start us off there. Ree, what are your biggest games you're watching this weekend, just storylines, players? What do you got your eye on heading into opening weekend of Division One softball?
Gosh, there's so much, but I think I'm interested to see some of these big transfer pitchers making their debuts. Some of them, you know, there's tons, but like Miranda Ellis at Oklahoma State, Haley Dosini at Texas, Hope Troutwine for Oklahoma. There's a lot of them. I just want to see like how they do, just kind of, you know, seeing them in new uniforms. It's going to be kind of, my eyes are going to have to like adjust to that. And then one of the big ones, and it's Wisconsin's Kayla Conway coming back. She's actually, you know, no spoilers, but we have her on the pod for next week. We taped that interview a few days ago about her comeback, because she's going to be so busy that we knew that it would not be feasible to get her in the middle of these game weeks. So she's really stoked, and she sounds like she's healthier than she's ever been. She hasn't played since 2019, Big Ten Player of the Year. Stoked about that. Stoked about the debut of Oklahoma pitcher Jordan Ball. The hype, last time the Oklahoma Sooners hyped something last year was about their offense. So now I've learned that every time they hype something, I am going to pay attention, because they don't do that without reason. So when Patty Gasso told me last year would be the best offense she's ever coached, I was like, oh wow. And Jordan Ball is getting some tremendous kudos from everyone in that program, so I'm interested to see her. And then the matchups, I mean, we have Arkansas and Washington and Mexico on Friday night. I mean, the Mexican fans down there in Puerto Vallarta, lucky to have that. I'm hoping it's going to be a Gabby playing Mary half showdown. Obviously they have the games before, so you got to see, but I coaches are pretty good about, which I kind of respect, about knowing the big games and saving their aces for those games, because they know that's good for the sport, for the fans. So I'm hoping that happens. And then Saturday, Tara, the big UCLA-Oklahoma showdown and the Mark Campbell Invitational, which is a new tournament this year, that and the Mike Candrea Classic, which are great honorees for these. But the Sooners eliminated the Bruins in the World Series last season, but obviously – no Megan Faramo that time didn't play because of injury. So are you excited about that one? Is that a big game for you?
Yeah, I think so. I'll be there. I'll be at Bill Barber in Irvine, California, watching the Sooners take on the Bruins. I think that's going to be a huge matchup, and we get it the first weekend of play. So just excited that I get to see it in person. So that's OU, UCLA. Like you said, I think Oklahoma State, see if Ellis is going to get the start. I think it's going to be a pitch guy committee. Kenny Ariese is going to do out there with Oklahoma State with Maxwell and Ellis. And, we also had huge news this week talking about how we're going to view games. ESPN announced the full broadcast schedule for all of 2022. And it is spectacular. Most excited about the Thursday night games. Ree, what do you got?
Yeah, nearly 200 televised games and then more than 1,900 games across all the networks. So more than 2,000 games total, like if you figure it all out, whether that's SEC Network, ACC Network, Longhorn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Digital. If you don't have the ESPN app, like subscription on ESPN Plus, if you're a softball fan, highly recommend getting that because you get like thousands of games. It's crazy. Like I sit there and I'm almost, it's, I have anxiety sometimes with that stuff because I don't know which one to like watch because there's, and I have like seven things going, but any softball fan would be best served to get that now if you don't already have it. And as you said, the new game of the week series, Thursday Throwdowns is kind of what they're talking. I think they're going to make shirts. I think that's what, but that's four top matchups on ESPN2. Some pretty good ones. Obviously things are going to change a little bit, rankings and stuff at that time, but sounds like some pretty good ones. You got your eye on?
Yeah, I think it starts off with a big Pac-12 matchup with Oregon and Arizona on April 14th. So I think that's going to be one to watch. And then Clemson, FSU on April 21st. Then Oklahoma State and Florida State the following week on Thursday night. And then Oklahoma State again against Oklahoma. So four big time ranked matchups on Thursday nights on ESPN2. I can't even think of anything better to do on a Thursday night than watch those games. So just excited that we're going to have those huge matchups and be able to watch on linear networks for ESPN. And speaking of ESPN, they got their big tournament, St. Pete Clearwater. So Rhea and I will be out there, not this weekend, but that following week. So please come up and find us and let us know what you think and ask us any questions and send us messages. We'll be there out at St. Pete Clearwater for that big tournament. And other than that, we can go on and on about the news, but all you got to do is actually head on over to the site. Everything's on d1sample.com.
Yeah, everything we talked about, we got that. And if anyone wants the full lineup of the ESPN's TV schedule, we have it on our site. We have it on the article we put up yesterday. So it has every single game. So if you want to see which ones you want to view, it's up there, as well as some of our weekend primer stuff, as we talked about. You know, the other game I'm really looking forward to on that weekend too is Arizona, Alabama, just Caitlin Lowe's head coaching debut this weekend. She'll be doing it in the Candrea Classic and she's taking over for Mike Candrea. So no pressure on Candrea's field. Like everything, it's like here, play on the field. We just named it after him a few days ago. And then in his own tournament, good luck. But she's been there. It's not like this is old, you know, she's been his assistant, but it's just so funny how there's just going to be constant reminders. And then facing Alabama on Saturday, that's going to be a good one too. So yeah. So all of that information on our site, as you said, tons of stories. I mean, we've done more preseason content than any site anywhere you'll ever find. And it's pretty amazing with all these rankings and stuff. And it's honestly, the amount of time that's gone into this, it's not me, it's everyone, but it's just amazing what our staff has done to put in the time and the research for this stuff. And we don't do it without a level of seriousness. We really take it seriously. We had like a 2-hour discussion yesterday on the rankings, like, and it was just hilarious. If you guys could be behind the scenes fighting for like, okay, 71 and 73, what do you think about these two, you know? So I really encourage everyone to check those things out because it'll give you, you'll be so up to speed that it'll be make the viewing a lot more pleasurable.
Yeah, so big shout out to Graham Hayes and Brady Vernon. And we're going to release those. Those should be out by the time you listen to this, the top 150 players to watch heading into the season. So that'll be out for you to take a look on the site. So head on over to d1sample.com. And I think that's it for the news of the week. Ree, anything else?
One more thing, this is more global. Southern Indiana is moving to Division I. So they will be playing in the Ohio Valley Conference. They announced the plans to move to D1 on Monday. And today, which is Wednesday, they announced the Ohio Valley Conference affiliation. So that's something to look out for in the future here. So we'll have another D1 member coming pretty soon.
All right, well, that's it for the week. And now we're going to head into our guest of the week who was just incredible on the show, just raw and real, and just really excited that she was able and comfortable enough to share kind of her journey with us. Ree, who do we got?
Yeah, Michigan pitcher Alex DeRocco, as you said off the top, Big Ten pitcher of the year last year, just phenomenal season. I mean, her strikeout rate was 12.9 per 7 innings, just amazing. But you know, in the middle of the podcast, she's very vulnerable. She told us about a very, very, you know, life-changing moment and how she almost didn't even play softball anymore. So we were very, you know, very honored that she shared that story with our listeners, and we think you'll really enjoy it and learn from it. And we hope you enjoy the whole podcast. We are now joined on the D1 Softball Podcast by Michigan pitcher Alex Starocco. The senior was named Big Ten Pitcher of the Year last season as a unanimous selection. She was 22-3 with a 1.05 ERA and 270 strikeouts. Good gosh, in 146 innings pitched. Led the nation in strikeouts per seven innings, average at 12.9. Yikes. That was odd. You established a program record with 22 strikeouts in a 9-inning win over rival Michigan State. We are so glad to be joined on the D1 Softball Podcast because Alex Starocco is also a member of the D1 Players Society, and she will be providing content for us through the entire site this whole season. Thank you so much for joining us, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we're getting, you know, the season's arriving. Everyone's excited to play. How are you feeling as the season is upon us now?
I am just so excited. Finally getting back to Florida, warm weather, especially coming from Michigan. And I'm even more excited to play someone other than us and someone other than the Big Ten right now, which is really exciting because we haven't done that in so long.
Yeah, how was that experience last year? Just, I mean, you were grateful to play, obviously, but just only being able to play the Big Ten teams. Was there any FOMO when you were watching other teams? Like, we can't do this? Or how did it feel?
Yeah, there was definitely FOMO, just because I think the season started a little earlier for people who were allowed to play, like, at a conference and stuff like that. But I think the setup, the bubble down in Leesburg was honestly really cool, because it gave us, obviously, a chance to play. But definitely some FOMO, and I think it hurt us a little bit in the long run, but I was just happy to be out on dirt and happy to be playing, because you know, it got ripped right from us, so any opportunity was anything to us.
Yeah, this team you have this year, how do you feel? I mean, you'd be able to get a gauge, you've been there long enough to kind of go through different teams and kind of judge by preseason. Any feel on this particular team?
Team 45 at Michigan is just so talented from 1 to 20. Like, we have an insane amount of talent with depth, like, at every position. And I think that that's what makes us so exciting. I think a couple people that came to our fall games got a little glimpse of it. So it's exciting to know that, like, people outside of our program are super excited to see what we can bring to the field and not just to us. So that's what I think is just really exciting about it all, because we have an insanely talented freshman class too, and I think that adds to a lot of it.
Yeah, and obviously that staff you have with Megan Boobian, who we've had on the podcast last season, that's a legit staff. The 1-2 punch, I think a lot of people have mentioned in every single, you know, national preview so far and Big Ten preview. How is it being on a staff with her, and how does that dynamic work? Because some people might think, oh, there's, like, you know, every woman for themselves, they all want to pitch every game, which we know is unrealistic, but how do you guys make that dynamic work?
Honestly, we just, I mean, she was amazing when I got here. So I was just like, okay, well, be the best or get left behind. So I think there's a healthy competition, but I think we work together so well because we're so different, honestly. Like, she's a lefty, I'm a righty, but just personality wise, interest wise, off the field, which just makes our, like, bullpen chats even more, like, comical, honestly. And yeah, you know, Jen Brundage, our pitching coach, Biggie, we just have a really good time in the bullpen. And I think that's what makes us so, so good, is that we enjoy getting better and we push ourselves to be so much better every day. And I think that that's what made us so good at our craft on the mound.
Yeah, I remember talking to Megan last year about, like, some of her academic pursuits. Like, how do you guys, I wouldn't even be able to have a conversation about some of the stuff she was doing. That's kind of intimidating.
It was intimidating coming in, and it was just, like, funny because, like I really was like, yeah, we're really different, but we've made it work, and, like, we have a blast together, which is, like, just so fun, because, like, she teaches me about a lot of things, and I'm sure I do the same with her about just topics, and it's even more exciting when there's something in common between us because we're so different. So I think, like I said, that just adds to everything in the bullpen.
and I read off your numbers as we introduced you. I mean, those are just crazy numbers. How do you try to, you know, you still want to be the best you can, you want to get better, but not try to live up to those standards? Cause that was a pretty lofty goal. Have you thought about that? Have you kind of try to, how do you try to manage that, the weight of expectations and kind of living up to what those numbers were last year?
Yeah, I think last year, what helped me a lot on the field with those kinds of numbers was just like being grateful to be out there and, you know, giving everything, because you don't know like when it's going to be taken from you. And I think that that's what the COVID year really, really brought to his perspective. And preparing for this year has just been exciting because it's like, wow, I get to prove myself once again. And just like adding that chip to your shoulder. And I think that when you play with a chip on your shoulder, like you just get a certain mentality that just makes you different. And I think the mental game is what really stepped me up in my game and how I was able to improve from my freshman year, sophomore year, and through COVID, honestly. And like a lot of it's physical, obviously, but once that mental game clicks for you and you get a different persona per se on the mound, you just get 10 times better, I think. And I think that once I have like, as soon as I have like a good head on my shoulders and just like forget about the numbers and just play the game that the 12-year-old fell in love with, like you're unstoppable.
Yeah. How did you get into softball? Take us down that road.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've been playing since I was younger. I had a bat in my hand since I was, I think, 2. I didn't start playing travel ball until I was probably 10 or 11. I actually didn't start pitching until I was 12. I was a third baseman power lefty hitter before I even started pitching. And my first ever pitching coach was Jen Brundage. I didn't have a pitching coach growing up. So I think that is what helped me, honestly, in college. As weird as that might sound, is like I was just so raw and just so excited to just take in and everything like a sponge. I learned from a dad that was local that took his daughter to college camps. And so he just kind of repeated what he heard at college camps and was like, oh, maybe try this, maybe try this. And so just being such a raw pitcher coming into college, like I just soaked up everything, and who better to do that from than Jen Brundage. So I think that that is what made me like as good as I can, and just being able to adjust on the go kind of deal. And I think that that's what helps me in game too, is just being able to mid inning, make a correction, or mid game, make a correction when I need to, if I'm feeling off, or being able to see a visual and, you know, make that correction on the fly. So I think that just adds to it. I played for a couple of different programs growing up, never any of the big name programs. I was kind of low on the radar through high school. I committed to DePaul University as a sophomore, and then decommitted my junior year after I was actually jumped and attacked in my high school cafeteria. I had some brain damage. I fractured my right wrist, which is my pitching wrist. So I almost walked away from the sport of softball my junior year of high school. And because I didn't think I would rehab and be able to come back from it. But I'm here, and that's what's really exciting. I decommitted after that all happened and was able to, I got to move away from the area I grew up in and was uncommitted for a little bit. Took a chance on my last year, played for the Sparks, and Michigan recruited me my senior year. And I took an official visit in the fall, or official visit in the fall, and fell in love with it. So, yeah.
Wow. You got a story. What was much as you can go in, what was around that? How did that happen?
So a little bit behind that, there were a couple of girls that were bullying me and my younger sister. And my younger sister, she's itty bitty. Unlike me, I'm almost 6 foot tall, and, you know, was the athlete and stuff like that. And there was a day in the cafeteria I was walking through, and they jumped me out of nowhere. And I don't remember a lot of it because of some brain damage that happened, and just having a really bad concussion from it. I had some bruising on my spine and a fractured wrist. And so, it was a really, really hard time in my life, my junior year of high school. I transferred high schools, This is actually the first time I've actually like really talked about it in an article or anything. But I think that that kind of situation is what helps me and like what propels me every day to be better and to prove to people that like you can be better than that. You can be better than the lowest of your lows in your life that you may get to. And I think that that's what makes me so grateful to be, you know, at Michigan in the Power Five, and coming back from a situation like that and never really thinking that I'd be able to throw again. So.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's heavy stuff. I imagine that is very traumatic, but, using that for good, that's what everyone wants to do with situations like that. It's not always possible, but that's great that you've been able to do that. And I hope your sister's good too. I hope she's a part of that. So. Man, really no great transition from that, Alex. You took us in a deep.
Yeah, sorry for the darkness, but no,
it's really, I think that's going to, I mean, that can help people out there that are listening because there's a lot of bullying that goes on, sadly. We know that. And, you know, like you almost quit the sport and look what we would have been deprived of. I mean, it's amazing. So,
I'm very, very thankful that, you know, Michigan and Coach Hutch really kind of look past the situation, honestly, because there was some issues with it in a lot of different areas, but and the fact that they kind of like took a chance on me because I was prepared, you know, no scholarship going into my senior year. I was prepared for honestly not being at the D1 level. I was prepared to not being on scholarship anywhere. I didn't think anywhere would have a scholarship for me. And so for the coaching staff to really kind of take their chance on me was the opportunity of a lifetime, and I couldn't pass that up.
Yeah, that's you know, anyone that knows anything about softball knows Coach Touch and knows how much she's contributed to not just softball but women's sports overall. How is it playing for her and having her as a head coach?
Oh, it's amazing. Everyone thinks that she is, you know, just so tough and everything, and she is. Oh, she's tough, but she is an actual teddy bear on the inside, and it's so fun playing for her and her love of the game. And she teaches you, you know, everything from softball to personality and just how to be strong and how to be a woman in this age. And she teaches you about Title IX, and I think that that's something that I think is so valuable growing up in the sport and seeing how women's softball is absolutely booming. I mean, it's so amazing seeing the women's sports that is just absolutely going crazy on TV and seeing all of that stuff that, you know, Hutch, she tells you stories about how when she was first coaching here at Michigan and she would line the fields and, you know, she would rake the field and seeing all that. And she, you know, really puts perspective in our everyday practice and everyday lives about, you know, back when she played, there wasn't scholarships and she barely could play in college and stuff like that because of the opportunities or the lack of that women had. So it's really cool to be like, wow, like I'm here now and I play in front of hundreds of people, thousands of people, and I'm able to show my talents that not a lot of other women have in the recent history. So it's really awesome to see like the sport grow as a whole.
Yeah, and Hutch still has appreciation. I mean, she was geeking out. She got a picture with Caitlin Clark the other day, the Iowa guard, who's like, if anyone's not involved with basketball, watch this chick. I mean, she pulls up from half court and she's swishing shots. So after she had like, she dropped like 45 against Michigan in a loss, Hutch got a photo with her, which I loved. That was awesome.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
She knows like, hey, there's still great females I got, even if they're this young. So
yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've been lucky enough to get you to sign up. You were the D1 Player Society, which is, you know, going to be a really cool thing. Got a whole team going that's going to be, you know, helping us with content all year and giving us some inside stuff. Why did you want to join and kind of what are your ideas that you're considering doing for us during this season?
I was so excited that something that like this came from D1 softball and just being able to just really crack into that like inner workings of like how the day-to-day life is at, you know, the athletic level for D1. And I think like I'm surrounded, like the group of girls that we've been working with, I think is really exciting because, you know, they're from all over, from all types of different programs. And I think that that's what makes it really cool too. And I really think that what, you know, why I wanted to do D1 softball was to share my story of how you can really kind of come from nothing and really go to the top. You know, nothing's stopping you except for yourself. And I think that sharing that with the younger generations and with outside people can really just like really motivate you and a little girl somewhere, and you don't know who's looking up to you. And I think just sharing that type of story can, you know, really help. And I think that having a platform like this can really help the youth and girls in sports. And I'm really excited to be able to be a member of D1 softball and the Player Society, just to grow that kind of awareness about it and the sport itself.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's exactly what we're hoping for. And it's going to be fun. Like you said, there's a variety, diversity with the baseball's got some D1 baseball's got guys too. So it's kind of this one big team for bat and ball sports. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be interesting to see the inner workings from different angles and different perspectives. So, all right, we've kept you forever. You have actual like school to do and practice to attend. And although it's, you know, indoor right now because of the weather there, but we'll leave you with some fun ones. How about a pregame meal for you? What's your go-to? Do you have one that you really like enjoy, or you had to make a request?
I gotta say, I am a frequent flyer at our Starbucks. So a venti, you know, caramel iced latte is what I always have. And usually a breakfast sandwich is my go-to.
Man, the caffeine intake of softball players never ceases to amaze me. Good for you guys, man. While you're young, keep it. Last one, any routines or superstitions on start days for you? Anything that you do or that you have to do?
I usually get in a pretty good routine about braiding my hair. I have certain days that I have certain, you know, hair looks that I have to have, which is really interesting. And I'm one of our like, quote unquote, like team braiders. So I usually have a pretty good schedule and a pretty good lineup of people's hair that I have to braid. So, you know, it just gets the arms warmed up for the game, helps me with my spin, stuff like that. So I think that's a pretty good routine to have.
You would have been my go-to, because I always had to find someone. I would like beg my neighbor's mom, like before game, you braid my hair. You're like a valuable tool on a team with people that don't know how to braid their own hair.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. This is going to be one of many times we see Alex on our site, whether it be on our podcast or on different, you know, the platform, the D1 Player Society. So we're excited to kind of introduce you a little bit more to this audience, and definitely are going to have you back. We're going to ask you back a few times when it permits in your schedule. So thank you so much today for joining us, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alex Sirocco from Michigan. You know, I love that we can have people on the podcast that feel comfortable enough to share their stories with us and share it with the world, because I think at the end of the day, her story is going to help maybe some younger players and younger girls that look up to her and that might be going through something very similar that she's gone through.
Yeah, I was really, really surprised. I had no idea that any of that happened to her. Really, really just honored that she was so vulnerable on the podcast and that she was willing to go there when we didn't even really know about it. And I do think you're right. I think bullying's, you know, at all ages, to be quite candid, is a huge issue, but especially, you know, younger girls. And I'm hoping that some will listen to it. Some of their parents will have them listen to it and realize that, you know, if it happens, you can overcome it. You can still, you know, go on to big things, but we need to really, it needs to be a message that's out there. That's just not, you know, stuff like that just can't happen. And I'm just glad that she didn't give up with softball, because the sport's benefiting from it. And how close she came to doing that is kind of scary. So anything we can do to prevent other kids from going through that, we've got to do that.
And Alex is a part of our D1 Player Society, so you'll be able to follow her journey all season long on the D1 Player Society. So just stay up to date with her and send her a message if you listen to this podcast and you know, felt anything and just wanted to say anything to her. Just go ahead and send her a message. I think it was really hard for her to share it, and I think it was a huge relief for her actually to share it as well. So that's Alex Sirocco from Michigan. And I think that's it for the week, Ree. Any final thoughts in terms of opening week? Are you going to be in front of a computer? Are you going to be out and about at all? Are you watching any live games?
I will. Well, I'm in a place that's cold, so I will not be watching live games because there's not ones to be played here. So you know, I will be watching the first weekend on TV, which is okay, because like that means I can kind of watch more. But I'm very excited to eventually get down to Florida. But this first weekend, I'm going to kind of just basically have about 17 devices going and trying to realize what my subscriptions were for some that maybe I haven't used since last season. So I will be doing computer, tablet, phone, TV, everything. But I'm geeked for you to be out there. My UCSB Gauchos are a warm-up for Oklahoma before they play your UCLA Bruins. I don't think that game will be as hard as your UCLA game. My Gauchos, as much as I'm a proud alum, I just don't think that's – I'm afraid of the home run numbers flying out. But so I'll be watching that from the comfort of my home. And the, you know, it's supposed to be about 50 here this weekend, so we could feasibly have watched. But you got to play it safe in areas like where I live this time of year.
Yeah, and to be honest, I was a big Gaucho fan. A ton of players that I actually went to high school with ended up being Gauchos. So I'm a huge UCSB fan. I almost said USC. Wow, that would have been interesting.
That's okay. My brother played tennis for the Gauchos, so we're a big Gaucho family.
Isla Vista, I mean, gosh, I mean, talk about good weather. Anyways, all right, that's it for the D1 Softball Podcast of the week. Tara Henry for Rhiannon Podkey. Have a great opening weekend. Email us at info@d1softball.com and we'll see you out there, and let us know what you think. Head to the site and we'll see you next week.